tell. Dennis, why don't you come on up? You know, for many years, the church has sponsored a troop. We have a Cub Pack, and we are the charter organization for scouting, and we consider that an honor. I think our values certainly overlap with many of the scouting values we want to create. I think Donna's word was men of integrity, boys growing up, living out their values. And one of the people who does that, well, I can find many here sitting with us today. So as our guests, we just want to say thank you for all that you do. The opportunity to work with the boys. We are privileged to provide space, but it's more than that. And it's the relationships that are critical to what we do. And I'm really appreciative of Dennis because he's one of those people that I've gotten to know over the years. And I asked a favor of Dennis because Dennis is stepping up this year. And he's agreed to be kind of the liaison between the church and the troop. So if there are any problems, don't go to me, go to Dennis, okay? But I'm confident that we won't have problems. We always view those as, what do we say, opportunities. So we all have those wonderful learning moments. But I am grateful for the chance to get to know Dennis. And so I asked a favor. I said, Dennis, would you talk a little bit about your involvement in scouting or perhaps what it might mean? Well, how did you get here? If you want to talk about what it means to be reverent, whatever God puts on your heart. And Dennis was like, okay, I'll do that. Actually, he was a lot more enthusiastic than that. But I know this isn't the easiest thing in the world, so I really am grateful. Dennis, thank you again.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. I had to write a few things down just so I wouldn't forget. As you heard, what my new role is in the church, I wanted to give a little bit of background as to why I started in Scouts. And I'll just start with back in October of 2010, I made a decision that probably changed my life. It did change my life forever. I chose to become involved as a leader in Scouts. My son had joined the troop. I believe he was 12 at the time. And he knew nothing about Scouts. I did not grow up in the scouting world when I was younger. And so he had some friends that just encouraged him to try it, and he did. As a parent, not knowing anything about an organization, I went to meetings, I observed, sat by the side, and just kind of observed what was going on, and later was approached to become a leader. Since signing up, I've been involved in different roles, assistant scoutmaster, committee member, scoutmaster. And then, as you've heard, my latest role is charter org rep. One of the things Jeff and I were talking, and he had given me some ideas, and the reason I said yes. During the time that I observed the troop, I quickly found that scouting provided for our youth what it provided for our youth. I saw what it did for my son. I would see him come back from training trips or campouts and just the joy it brought in his life. Nothing gives me more pride than seeing a scout master a skill, overcome a fear of heights, starting to grow into a young adult and become a valued member of the community. I would see scouts come back from week-long training trips, high-adventure trips, and see how they'd become more independent, self-aware, ready to take on the next challenge in life. Boy Scouts provide a safe place to learn, and with that comes mistakes. We all make them. But what's important is that we move on from them, we learn from them, and don't dwell on the past. In reflection, I found over the past 7 years, which not a long time, there are leaders that have been involved in Scouts for many more years. And as we've heard today, there are people here that are involved in other organizations. They value or they volunteer their time. But over the last 7 years, I did some reflecting on life and what it means to be reverent. Observing scouts reaching a goal that they've set for themselves, such as reaching the rank of Eagle Scout. Conquering fears of heights, as I spoke about. Watching a scout tie or teach a younger scout how to tie knots. Sitting by a campfire with a bunch of teenage boys and just talking. Or maybe going on a 3-day hike on the long trail, which pushed me to my limits, and watching the scouts step up and help out a fellow scout. Or probably one of my most enjoyable moments in the Florida Keys on a sailboat, quiet at night with thunderstorms rolling in from a distance, and just sitting and observing nature. And you spoke earlier about how God talks to you. For me, it's nature. It's the time I spend in nature and seeing the joy it brings on everyone's lives. Running into scouts later in life that have moved off, they've gone off to college, and they come back and they talk to you, or maybe you go visit them in college. And they thank you for your time. It means a lot, and that's not the reason I do it, but it's one of the reasons that it helps. It gives you a little purpose. Many of us volunteer in scouts, in sports, and so forth, and it keeps me young, helps keep me young. I may not look it, but that's okay. In closing, I don't want to ramble on too long, but in closing, I just want to make sure I saw this quote somewhere, and I have no idea who said it, but youth make up 15% of our population, but they make up 100% of our future, and that's one of the reasons why I'm involved in Scouts and in youth organizations. It's an important thing that we do, help guiding our kids, providing an environment that's safe and friendly for them to learn where they fit in life. So with that, thank you.
You know, we just want to make an investment, and we do that not only by providing space and a place for you all to meet, but we're really interested in the quality of people's character. So I suppose I should have given this to you. It could go to anybody. But Dennis, I especially say thank you for your willingness to share. But what we'd like to do is invest in one of the boys. So we want to give you kind of a scholarship that will provide a camp experience for one of the boys this summer. So there may be somebody who has need, we don't know, or who's deserving, so I'm sure you will know how to aim it in the right direction, but we'd like to send a boy to camp this summer. So as the gift of our congregation, our church to you, making an investment in the leaders of tomorrow. 100%, I like that. Thanks, Dennis. Thanks again. Well, more stories. So this is a good friend of mine. I'm going to let Ray Williams introduce himself. Ray, you have your choice. You can have your lapel mic. So this is Ray Williams. Oh, my goodness. We go back years and years, do Ray and I. Ray is, again,
am I coming for the day?
I victimized somebody. I'm sorry. I invited somebody to share a little bit about their story. So I want to say thanks in advance to Ray. He'll introduce himself. You're poised, you're confident, you're a leader amongst others. So
a little nervous, but that's fine.
Perfect. I'll get out of the way. Ray Williams.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome, Scouts, to the United States. Many, many, many years ago, I'll be 65 this year, so many years ago, I was a Boy Scout in Essex Junction. We had two troops at that time, and it was probably 6 or 7 years of just a great, enjoyable time in my life. A lot of friendships, relationships were formed then that still Even though I'm a little long in the tooth, if I do run into somebody from that era, it's nice. You're still connected. There's a commonality of experiences that happened back then. And I can't help but think this morning, I just want to speak on, I guess I titled it Leading from Behind. I don't know if that's the right title for it, but it's really how our life's experiences really shape us and kind of form us into what we become during and through life, and kind of where we're at now because of that. I wanted to start off reading a couple of scriptures, if I could. Starting in Romans, I wanted to read Romans 6, verses 5 through 11. Starting in verse 5, "For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death is no longer its master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." And then Romans 5, verses 1 and 2. "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace, in which we stand and we exult in hope of the glory of God." I have one other verse, but I'll read that a little bit later on. So I just want to give you a little brief history, and hopefully I won't bore anyone to tears here, but again, I grew up in Essex Junction. I was always kind of a curious kid. I really enjoyed learning about things, discovering things, observing people. I still do today. Poor Kathy and I can't go out to a restaurant, and I kind of look at the food a little bit, but I'm really kind of scanning the restaurant or wherever we're at, just trying to find out what other people are doing, kind of their body language, how they interact with each other, et cetera. And that's really shaped me from a young age all the way up through here. My dad was a World War II veteran. He was over in Hawaii when the war started. He came back from the war, and again, for some of us that have been around for a while, shortly after he came back, this guy named Al Rusterholz came into the Chittenden County area and opened up this place called Al's. And it started out in Malatomae. My dad worked for him there. Ended up going to Essex Junction, which that one no longer exists. It's some kind of a restaurant now by the railroad tracks, and South Burlington was the second place that they had. And my dad, for years and years and years, ran the Al's in Essex Junction. That's what I kind of grew up with. Cooking, eating French fries, and to this day, that's kind of our favorite haunt when we go into South Burlington. It's hard for us not to go to Al's, and it hasn't changed much since the 40s and 50s. I was also a reader, and still am, of nonfiction. I love history. Not really a big fiction reader. I love history. I love reading about events in this country. I read a lot of novels about World War II, maybe because my dad was in that. But when I read it, it wasn't always about the glamour of war. It was always how people interacted, what the leaders did, how they interacted with the people that were kind of underneath them, the relationships that they have, how they led, why they led, and the fact that they were always this big learning curve. Big fan of Dwight Eisenhower. I read a lot of the stuff that's out about him. And stuff like that always interested me. So that's really formed a lot of who I am nowadays. I guess to put it in a nutshell, I've always been more concerned and curious about the events and the people and how they relate to each other than actually kind of what went on, if that makes sense. moving on to a bigger part of my life, and I hope this is all going to make sense as we try to pull this together. Kathy and I have been married for 48 years this year, 47, excuse me. This year, let's hope I got that right. We were married in 1969. 48, wow. And we've just had raised three kids, moved to Milton in 1975, bought a house here. Has had a great time just with relationships and forming relationships in town. But when we got married, we kind of really tried to work hard at it. We sat down and said, okay, our parents did this well, did this not so well. So everything they didn't do right, let's do the opposite of that, and we should make out, like, wonderfully. It's funny how it doesn't always work out that way. And again, so we were just really curious and striving to see how to improve on our family, on our marriage, on the best way to raise kids. I think when you have your first baby, you've got all the answers. After number three, you know you don't have any answers, certainly not the right ones, and you try to hang on by the skin of your teeth and kind of make it through life. But you do it by, you know, but you also look at what other people do. And I think as I look at the scout leaders here and other leaders in this room, I think that whether you know it or not, the kids, the young men here, the young teenagers where you were, they're watching you. They may not be. You're going to teach them by the way you deal with them, by the way you respond to them. They're watching everything you do. And the last thing you have to do probably is say anything. What you have to do is just they're going to see how you do it and probably try to emulate that, right or wrong. I really believe that's what happens. That's what happened with me. Well, something happened when I was just about 30 years old. I became aware that there was this tug on Kathy in my heart. We felt that we had to, like, offer. Is this me hitting something or no? Is it making noise? Okay, it's okay. I'm not used to this lapel mic. There was a tug on our heart. We knew that there was something missing in our life. So 35 years ago, through a sequence of events, we just gave both of our hearts and lives to Christ. We just said, you know what, there's got to be something more to this life than just trudging through, trying to make things up on our own. There has to be someone who can lead us through this the right way. And we found that to be him. So there was definitely an identity change, even though you don't always see it on the outside. You hope that it's happening on the inside. We got really involved in a church family in Hinesburg, Vermont. There was a pastor, Keith Riddell, who kind of took us under his wing, and we just loved the camaraderie. We loved the family there. We loved the unity there, and the support that everyone had for each other. Shortly after that time, a few months later, these are just big events that really definitely changed the course of my life. Billy Graham came into town, and he had a crusade at UVM. I think it was 1982, if I'm remembering right. And through a sequence of events, I got a chance to meet him. To him, it was no big deal, but to me, he was bigger than life. And so to actually meet him, but it was the events there that really changed my life. It wasn't so much that I get to shake the hand of Billy Graham, but it was the events that happened during that week-long crusade that really affected me and still do to today. We then moved a little closer, went to Community Bible Church and got involved with a youth group. Kathy and I became youth leaders. We had a teenager at that time and one on the way, and we stayed there for a number of years. And unbeknownst to us, behind the scenes, God was really developing things in our lives to help us to work as team builders, to be mentors. In the same time, we were also learning ourselves how to kind of pass that on to others, a little bit pay it forward. We were also involved from CBC. We came here. We helped to plant two churches in town, Cornerstone. We were two of the first 13 members there. New Life, we were two of the first few members there. Just an exciting time. And all those events, I guess, just we think that things aren't shaping and molding us and or we don't realize they are. Let me just say that. But yet they actually are. Everything that happens in our life, I really believe, is for a purpose. And we don't always see it at the time. And sometimes it doesn't feel good, depending on what that is. But it happens. One of the things we discovered, too, was to really start stepping back and kind of getting out of the way. People would look to, Kathy's, for instance, has always been the silent leader in the house. I look to her to know which way I'm going to go, we're going to go. I happen to be a little taller than her, and for some reason people say, well, there's a guy that can go get it done, but I learned quickly on, I'm not the guy that's going to go get it done. I could get it done, but it may be not be done the right way. And we learned through the school of hard knocks, so to speak, that anything that I really initiate on my own could be successful, could not, but anything that he initiates is always going to be successful. And so through life, that was a lesson a great lesson that we learned. I got involved with, Kathy did too, she was a cheerleading coach at the high school. I coached soccer, junior high, JV. I was a guest coach, one of our state championship boys soccer teams back in the 90s, because I had the junior high team that year. So the coach asked me to come up and help during, I was pretty much just wore a jacket and got water. But I got to be a part of that whole experience, which was awesome. Kathy and I got involved in the Yellow Jacket Booster Club. We were involved for a number of years. I was president for a number of years. There's a lot of great people in town that got involved with that. We ended up raising hundreds of thousands of dollars because at that time it was almost really difficult to get a budget passed here that extracurriculars were involved in. They tended to cut those every year from band to soccer to whatever. So we stayed involved with that for a number of years. I got to be a great bingo caller. I think I did that for 5 years without a break every Sunday. And then finally we started developing some teams of people to do it to help out. So it was just an awesome time. But again, those things that really just help to form who you are. The family, I mean, our just had a great time with the kids growing up. We've talked, you know, again, we're a little long in the tooth right now, but I've always said I could go through our kids growing up again. We just had an awesome time with them. And then on kind of the backside of that is work, too. I've been working full-time since I was 17 years old, and I've been able to rise up, so to speak, through the ranks with a company that doesn't exist anymore. And I'm in the grocery business. I run a grocery store in Jericho. Done that for a long, long time. Held a bunch of positions with a company called Grand Union, which used to be in town, which doesn't exist anymore. Just, again, a great career. One of the things I was able to do was I've just had hundreds and hundreds of people working for me through the years. And such an honor and a privilege, as you leaders probably know right now, of what it is to be able to speak into and invest in other people's lives. And when you're a manager of a store or any type of business, I mean, you're everything to father, priest, brother, friend. You wear all those hats. And to do it in a way that's really going to speak life into somebody, as a Christian man, not because of anything I did, but because it's everything that he did through me, people's lives, I believe they've been impacted and in change. I really learned to lead by example, or at least try to lead by example. This is far from perfect guy. Just ask Kathy over there. But I do try to live by example. And one of the things I do is watch what she does. And if I do that, I keep my eyes on him and then watch how she responds to the Lord. And usually I end up with a larger portion of success when that happens. So really it boils down to living by faith and not by sight. I don't know if I even gave you this, Cheryl. I was just going to read John 5:19. And it really boils down to Christ being our example. I mean, one of the, you can't have a better example. And he didn't try to do anything on his own. In fact, I'll read it even as you're, there we go. It says, therefore Jesus answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. So Jesus can't do, he doesn't do anything by himself. He only does what he sees his Father doing. And that's what my goal is. That's what our goal is as a couple. And now that Kathy and I are, I don't know if it's the right term, the home stretch, so to speak. I mean, we're in the autumn of our life. I mean, some people here are maybe a little deeper into the fall than we are. A lot of you are a lot less far along than that. We just really want to find out at this stage in our life what we are to do, what we are to be, how are we to be involved. One thing we know for sure is that there's been this lifelong journey that we've been on that he has developed, and it was brought up so well this morning, that life is really all about relationships. It really is. It's not about what we accomplish. It's about who we touch on that way to accomplish those things. That's the real important part. Whether it's our kids, whether it's teenagers, whether it's scouts, whether it's the neighbor next door, whomever that is. You bring up Henry Blackaby's Experiencing God. Kathy and I had done that some years ago. We did a book by Dan Stone, The Rest of the Gospel, and they're pretty much all talking about the same thing. And I'll leave you in this. I'll close up now, and I laugh. I said, I wasn't going to say that. But we don't want to strive to be perfect. I'll leave you with this. We don't want to strive to be perfect and always get it right. That's my goal. I don't want to always strive to be perfect and get it right. I want to pursue him, and I want to know him, and I try to leave the details in his success and the success up to him. And I'm convinced that it is so much less about me knowing and doing and so much more about me seeing and following. And this wise guy, his name is Bill Johnson. I'll take a quote out of a book that I'm reading, and it says this: when we submit the things of God to the mind of man, then unbelief and religion are the results. But when we submit the mind of man to the things of God, then we end up with a faith and a renewed mind. The mind makes a wonderful servant, but a terrible master. So to me, it's simple. Just get out of the way and follow the leader. Thank you.
Can I bring back the worship team for...